I want to ask you about something that when I heard about it, I laughed, and a lot of people did, this space elevator thing, the idea of creating an elevator into space, into a geosynchronous point, which is, 22,300 miles up. It seems laughable, but I guess it's not.
Well, actually, the materials are now being made and experimented with that will make it all possible. Basically, it's a new type of carbon called nanofibers or nanotubes, and this material is so strong that a length of it that was not tapered, just like a standard rope, a length of it 3,400 kilometers long could support its own weight. To give you a comparison, if you had a sisal fiber rope, which is standard rope, it could support a length of itself about 6 kilometers long, and polyethylene rope, the plastic, could support about 18 kilometers of itself. This stuff can support 3,400 kilometers.
My God.
It's stronger than diamond.
Stronger than diamond.
Yes, the fibers have been successfully manufactured, and it looks like they have a process for making them in bulk. And that would be fantastic. And this means that we can build a cable strong enough to support its own weight all the way from orbital space down to the ground.
This sounds like Jack and the Beanstalk. How would you begin building this monstrosity? Would you start from the ground going up?
Actually, you'd start from orbit, because you'd put a factory or a manufacturing facility and an assembly plant up in orbit, and then you would start building the cable and extending it toward the ground. And if you just manufactured 4 or 5 kilometers a day, well, in no time at all, the thing would be scraping on the ground. And then you'd anchor it down, and you'd send up your first cable car.
What would hold it up?
Actually, it's much simpler than people might imagine. It's actually in orbit. So the hub of this whole assembly is in orbit, just as any satellite would be. And if we place it in orbit above the equator at the geostationary point,
yes,
and that is, as you said, 22,300 miles up, then it would not move with relation to the ground.
Right.
And so as you start extending the cable, one length of cable would go downward toward the Earth, another length would go outward, holding a counterweight.
Oh.
And so between the two, the tensions would remain equal, and it would not move.
A counterweight in space. But in space, things don't have weight as we understand it. So you're just talking mass?
That's correct, just the mass. And as the system is designed now, they might not even need that, because there will be enough mass in the taper of the cable. You see, the cable, if it were uniform in strength and uniform in size, would reach a point where you couldn't have any more length or it would snap. So in order to fix that, at the top, you make it broader so that it has the ability to support more of itself.
So one day, we would just look up and we'd see this little dark strand of something headed toward Earth. Well, I suppose we wouldn't, because it would have to be at the equator, right?
Well, you'd be able to see it from a long way off.
Sure. I bet you would.
But you probably would see it as being a light color unless something was changed in the technology. They plan on coating it with a thin layer of metal so that oxygen erosion will not eat the cable. And they're talking about the ability to lift 20 tons at a time.
And atmospheric troubles like hurricanes and things like that I'm trying to think this through, where there might be a hole in this idea.
Well, consider that this cable, like a guitar string, would have a resonant frequency. But its resonant frequency would be about 7.2 hours.
Say it again. 7.2 what?
Hours.
Hours?
Yes. If you plucked it like a string, the vibrations would take over 7 hours to work it back and forth once.
Oh, I see. Wow.
So because of its resonant frequency, we shouldn't have any problem with hurricanes or storms.
Huh. They would just whiz by it and it simply wouldn't be affected.
That's correct.
Can you give me an idea of how, actually, for example, by the time it got to Earth, how big would this cable, as you call it, be?
It would be about a meter wide and flat. Flat like a sheet of paper.
Really?
That's correct. And that way you can grab it with a pair of rollers and run up and down it, and you have a lot more surface tension or surface area to contact it, so you can't slip.
That's incredible. So you'd be able to virtually ride this thing right up out of the Earth's atmosphere slowly with no friction, not having to achieve... Well, wouldn't there be... I'm a dummy in this area, and I know that rockets have to, you know, get tremendous power and tremendous speed to get away from Earth.
Okay, I see where you're going with that. Actually, if you're not orbiting the Earth in a rocket, if you were to stand stationary over the Earth, you'd find that you'd still fall toward the ground, but the force of gravity gets weaker as you leave the surface.
Right.
So as you go up the cable, you don't have to worry about orbital motion because you're suspended on a solid object.
I've got that, but something still has to power this thing, right?
That's correct. You'd beam power up to it either through microwaves or laser beams.
Huh. And I wonder what kind of journey we're talking about here. If you were to get into an elevator attached to this thing at the bottom and start up, how long would it take you to get there?
Well, if you went to the geostationary point where the main station would be, it would take about 8 hours.
8 hours?
Quite a while.
That's more unreal
than an airline flight, you know?
Well, unreal in a lot of ways. If something like that existed, I suppose then that the solar station you talk about and resupply and all the rest of it working on it would all be a piece of cake.
That's right, because once you had the first skyhook or space elevator in place, you'd use it as the facility to build two or three more, and then you'd have some that ride up with cargo and some that come down with cargo, and you'd have a continuous flow of passengers and hardware. And this would cut your launch costs from... let's see, the recent estimate was $20,000 per kilogram, down to eventually about $10 per kilogram.
Is this idea, for example, reasonable? Are they actually approaching the viability of these materials in that kind of mass?
Well, it looks like they are. They have
really
discovered a manner of getting the nanofibers to assemble themselves. And it turns out as simple as dragging a post-it note over the material as it was grown on a substrate, and the fibers self-assemble.
Wow.
But the other thing is, and this is a technological spin-off, the first batch of the material they produced appears to be transparent, and it looks like they may be able to turn it into a new type of display. There are talks about the same material being used to make flat televisions or displays that can be rolled up or folded.
Really?
Yes.
So we've really come a very long way in a very short time. I had no idea some of this could actually be just about viable.